Let's pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for this opportunity to worship you this morning and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would guide and direct our thoughts. Lord, we pray that your Spirit would speak in that still small voice. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. In your bulletin are some sermon notes where you can fill in the blank if you'd like to follow along that way. On the opposite side of that page or the other side of that page are weekly devotions that you can take home and use each day of the week. If you're listening online, there's an downloadable PDF file that will contain both of those items. I remember a time in school where I experienced a great time of confusion, anxiety. I was at a tipping point in my young life. What should I do? It doesn't matter what the problem was, but it dealt with someone else and other people in my life. I truly felt alone in that moment. I know I'm not the only one here who has experienced moments like those, that kind of depth of anguish and worry. And when I look back at that moment where I was in life, I can tell you that God was really not a part of it. I hadn't been to church on a regular basis in more than 2 years. And even though I worked at a summer church camp, I never helped out with the spiritual gatherings the seminary intern would have every day with the kids. It was an hour where I didn't have to worry about the kids at all. I could do some laundry, take a shower, get some other things done, maybe catch up on some sleep. But it was at this moment in my young life that I needed to talk to someone. And although it was already after dinner, I did the only thing that I could think of. I rode my bike to the church on campus to see if the pastor was there. I had been raised in the church. Someone came to the door and gave me his address, and I was off. I was getting dusk out now, and when I got to his house, I rapped on the door. His wife finally came to the door and told me that he was out for a meeting at the moment, but that he would be returning in about 45 minutes or an hour or so. And she could see that I was emotionally distraught at that moment. But he wasn't at home, and so I got on my bike and I rode around for a time. And then I went back to his house. He ushered me into his home office, and I was like that old geyser, Old Faithful at Yellowstone Park. My problems just came gushing out with full force, and because I couldn't just hold on to it any longer. I had been feeling like I was trash for getting into the problem that I was in. I knew better, so I thought. But there I was, what I thought was an unacceptable piece of humanity. And we must note that we've all reached points in our lives where we look in the mirror and see less than the person we want to be staring back at us. We seek only to be acceptable in other people's eyes, and we wonder, how did I get to this place in my life? We only want to fit in with everyone else, and yet we find ourselves to be lower than what we want ourselves to be. And we note that all we want to be is accepted and loved. All people want to be accepted and loved and to do the same to others. That really is the basis for life for many people. And no matter where we find ourselves, whether it's at home with spouses or in-laws or outlaws, with parents or siblings, sometimes we just want to be accepted and loved and don't feel that. As kids, we want to be seen as okay with our peer groups, despite our awkwardness and sometimes our limitations. Adolescence in school can be such a cruel, cruel time in life. Whether just starting out on our own or we've been around the block a time or two, it could be wealth, it could be material possessions or lack thereof, all playing into whether we fit in or not, whether we are acceptable or not. And we definitely don't want people to point out our flaws. Unfortunately, this isn't something that has happened to you or me. It's a story as old as time. It has happened to all of us. To you, to your neighbors, to your friends, to your relatives. All have found ourselves wondering if we can be accepted or not. It reminds me of the time when Jesus was teaching in the temple courts and was confronted with a woman who had been caught in adultery. She was brought before him by the Pharisees and other teachers of the law. It says, they made her stand before the group, and Jesus said, read the rest with me. Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say? Talk about hitting bottom. Not only did this woman break the law, which the Pharisees were all about keeping, she is brought out in front of Jesus and the crowd that he is with, and her sin is now exposed and has become common knowledge. Boy, you talk about not wanting your flaws pointed out. And on top of that, the man she was caught in the act with, well, he's not even presented to as he should have been. And before you say to yourself, I've never done something as awful or as unlawful as that, remember, sin is sin. There's no ranking of sin. And we note that whether we've committed adultery or have told a little white lie, sin is sin, and there is no ranking before God. God doesn't see ranked sin. Now, we also know in this moment the Pharisees were trying to entrap Jesus. They wanted to smear his name and get rid of him and his authoritative teaching they themselves couldn't even come close to. And the big question was this: what would Jesus do? Would he condemn her as the law required? Which meant being stoned to death. I don't know how he, God in the flesh, could possibly allow her not to be corrected somehow, maybe even not being allowed to live. It was the law. She had broken the law, made a mockery of what God intended for spousal relationships. But there's two words that we need to know that are about God that come in above the law. These two words are what Jesus shows this woman: mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. We note that mercy is compassionate or friendly forbearance shown toward an offender, an enemy, or other person under one's power. Someone who is shown compassion and kindly forbearance. And grace is unmerited favor extended even when it's not deserved. Unmerited favor extended even when it's not deserved. Mercy is like saying to somebody who has broken the law, I will forgive you. Grace is extending yourself to someone and saying, come, I love you, regardless of what they do. Come on, come on. That's grace. Both are big God traits, if you ask me. You see, when we break the law of the land, we have to pay the penalty for our wrongdoing. If you're caught speeding, there's a ticket. If you're caught in adultery, there's a broken relationship, there's broken trust, which often leads to legal divorce. And when the law is broken, others are often hurt as well. And yet, mercy is not getting what you deserve. The officer lets you off with the warning. The spouse says to the adulterer, okay, I will give this relationship another chance. Others who are hurt overlook our actions and still love us. This is mercy. Not making us pay the penalty for what our wrong motive or wrong actions deserve. Now, grace Grace is God continually reaching out to us even when we turn away. Even when I had not gone to church for 2 years, that was God saying, come, I've got a pastor that can help you. That's grace reaching out, saying I love you even when you're most unlovable. Grace is God saying to us, come with me, come be with me every Sunday morning, even if we haven't worshiped in a long, long time. Grace is God sending people to help us in our time of need. I have experienced grace so many times. I'm sure you have also. Now, Jesus extends both this mercy and grace to this woman who is really a pawn in the Pharisees' game. And when asked what he should do, he doesn't immediately turn to the woman and said, you know what? You've committed sin number 7. Check. Do not commit adultery. I guess there's stoning in your future. Jesus, no, he first bends over and starts writing in the dirt. We don't know what he's writing. And as they continue to question him, the Pharisees wanting to know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Extending mercy to the woman, he turns to the teachers and says these very simple words. Read them with me. Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. What does that say to you? Whoever is without sin, you judge her. This is so powerful. Of course, beginning with the older ones and then the younger ones, they drop their stones and walk away. To me, it reminds me to not be so quick to dole out the punishment. Don't rush in with ugly words that demean others. Don't forget that we are not so perfect ourselves that we can be judge, jury, and executioner to others. I mean, don't forget. Aren't we in need of both grace and mercy too? For with mercy you give to others, it will be given to you. For with grace you give to others, and it will be given unto you. Sounds biblical, doesn't it? It doesn't say those words in the Bible, but it sounds good. But it is simply what God does, extending both grace and mercy to each of us. God continues to give these, whether you give them out or not. And we note that as God extends grace and mercy to us, we need to extend both grace and mercy to others. In fact, the Apostle Paul would write down eventually about the law that it was in part used to show that on our own, we could not on our best day completely follow the law. We couldn't ever follow the law. We must remember that we are unable on our own to be as perfect as God is perfect. We will always need grace. We will always need mercy in our lives. From loving God completely, ridding ourselves of all idols, perfect attendance at church for worship, and never taking God's name in vain, have you ever broken any one of those? Have you ever not loved your parents or your siblings or your neighbor? Have you ever not coveted something, lusted after someone, or hated someone? Have you always served God with all of your abilities, all of your finances, all of your time? Are you so perfect that you don't need to worry about needing mercy or grace in your life? I think not. But the law shows that we are imperfect. It also causes us to come to God and to fall before God on our knees with a humble attitude, knowing that we need to be forgiven, that we will always fall short of God's standards. Because of the law, it reveals to us how absolutely merciful and gracious God is towards us who fall short. And I'm speaking to everyone here. I think about this and wonder how anyone could judge someone else. We talk about people behind their back as though we are perfect. My favorite is pulling out onto the street and somebody pulls out in front of you and you're like, arr, 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 arr. And then I remember, yeah, I probably have done that a time or three too. Once the Pharisees had left, Jesus turns to the woman and says, "Woman, where are they? Have they not condemned you?" Oh, man, I want to be able to say, "Lord, no one condemns me." Even though oftentimes, like you, you feel condemned. You've done something, it hasn't been good, or it wasn't perfect, and someone points it out. Now remember, she had been caught in sin. There were laws against what she had done. And when Jesus, or when God, could have piled on and said, "You are condemned," he instead says to her, "Then neither do I condemn you." Oh. Words of grace, words of mercy, they are amazing words. Words that we long to hear when we've screwed up. The question people are asking today is, am I acceptable? Am I acceptable by God? Am I acceptable by my fellow human beings? And the problem is that we as Christians don't always, even most of the time, say, "Yes, you are acceptable. Yes, you are acceptable by God, and you are acceptable by me." And in doing so, saying that I don't condemn you. Friends, too many people are walking around and they believe that God hates them. They really do. Or that God could never love them. I'm sure you have experienced that before in your life. Or God could never forgive me or them, or even want to be with me or them for what they have done in their lives. And that's just not the truth. Jesus' style was to hang out with the people of his day who were most rejected by the teachers and preachers of his day, the highly spiritual people. Jesus called a tax collector to follow him. He went to parties. Wow. He went to parties and there were prostitutes and tax collectors, the lowest of the lows. And one of his greatest stories, the parable of the prodigal son who left his father for the riches of the world, for the materialistic things that he could dabble in, and when everything was lost, the son knew he needed to go back. And when he thought he would have to beg just to become a servant in his father's household to even feed the pigs the slop that they needed, the father sees him and runs to him. And hugs him and welcomes him back into his household. Jesus wanted them to know that they were all acceptable in love. Marvelous mercy. Wonderful grace. And no matter where you're sitting at today, God reaches out to you. And he says, "My child, I love you. Come. Come and be with me." Oh, aren't those words that you long to hear from your Heavenly Father? I know I do. I heard this story from a pastor, sociologist, speaker. His name was Tony Campolo. Spoke his story a long time ago, and it's always stayed with me. He went to Honolulu to speak at a conference. He lives in Pennsylvania, and when he got there, he immediately went into his hotel room and fell asleep. Of course, as life would have it, he woke up at his normal wake-up time, and it was 3 a.m. in the morning. So he goes to a nearby diner for some coffee and donuts. And in walks three ladies of the night. And as they begin to talk, he overhears one of them saying, "Hey, you know what? It's my birthday tomorrow. My 39th birthday." Her friend says, "So what do you want me to do about it? Get a cake, sing happy birthday to you or something?" And she turns to her friend and she says she's never ever had a birthday cake, and no one has ever sang happy birthday to her, ever. After they left, Tony asked the diner owner, "Do these women come here every night?" And the diner owner said, "Yes, like clockwork." And Tony says to him, "Could we throw a birthday party for her tomorrow night?" By this time, the diner owner and the others in there were getting excited and were in favor of helping him out. The owner even said, "I'll even make the cake." So Tony, the next night, brought some decorations in at 2 a.m. and put this big happy birthday, her name was Agnes, "Happy birthday, Agnes," up and decorated the place. And all of a sudden, 3 a.m. came in, the diner started filling up with all sorts of ladies of the night. And before long, he said, it was packed. Agnes and her friends then showed up at their regular 3:30 time and they all shouted, "Happy birthday, Agnes!" And of course they broke into, "Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Agnes, happy birthday to you." And of course Agnes was just floored and overwhelmed with emotion. She couldn't even blow out the candles and ask the owner to do it for her. And as they were about to cut into the cake, she said, "Wait, could you just wait a moment? Can I take the cake down the street to where my mother is and show her?" Mercy and grace. When she had left, there was silence in the diner. And then Tony said, "How about if we pray?" He goes on to say what a strange thing it was to have a diner filled with prostitutes and their heads were bowed praying to the Lord. He went on to pray for Agnes and the others, letting them know, this is so hard because we do this so poorly. He let them know that they were affirmed and beloved daughters of God with great value, worth, and promise. How many times have you felt that you weren't a person who had some hope in the future or some promise for your life? After the prayer, the owner turns to Tony and said, "I didn't know you were a preacher. What kind of church do you belong to?" And Tony said, in a moment of inspiration, he goes, "I belong to a church that throws birthday parties for prostitutes at 3:30 in the morning. That's the kind of church God wants." Jesus didn't come to earth to condemn people, but to tell them that they are valued, that they are of sacred worth, and that they are loved. And we'd want to end here. However, Jesus isn't one to want us to stay where we're at, but wants us all to continue to grow in our relationship with Him. And so He tells the woman one more thing. Read it with me. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Jesus knows that to remain in a life of sin will continue to create a chasm, or either deepen or widen that chasm. And that will create a distance between us and God. So go and leave your life of sin. The pastor I met with in my brokenness didn't condemn me. He didn't chastise me, but he listened to me with true empathy, as Jesus did to the woman caught in adultery. looking back, his grace at handling me and my situation allowed me to understand my brokenness and a need for more of God. That God would forgive me. That God could help me to move on. Again, I know that some of you have experienced this kind of brokenness in your life. And God has remained faithful to His Word to give you grace, to give you mercy, and to meet you at your need. There are people in your lives that are now experiencing this very need to be valued, to have promise, to have sacred worth. And we, the people of God, need to extend that to them. That's who God calls us to be like Jesus. And when we are not like Jesus, we end up being like the Pharisees, looking to stone someone. Do you want to be a stoner or not? Right? It's that simple. Imagine a church filled with grace and mercy. Imagine being a people when someone comes here, is received well, and we say, "Happy birthday to you." I don't know about you, but I want to be a church where we sing happy birthday to prostitutes at 3:30 in the morning. Don't you? Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for your marvelous grace, for your amazing mercy, and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would remind us of your grace that has extended into our lives, and Lord, how you want to use us to extend your grace into others' lives. Lord, fill us to overflowing with your love. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.